97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Mark Cox on vacation. Carl Middleman, our executive producer, and a special co-host for the show, Ryan Conley from In Season Financial. Welcome to the studio, sir.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
We're going to dig deep into Ryan's story and why he's back on the show a couple of weeks later after the MR340, but a salute to Dusty Hill from ZZ Top. Just lost him a couple of days ago. Guy went in his sleep, which is, to me, I think that's the goal for most. Not that anybody wants to leave anytime soon, but... So, Carl, thanks for digging up the ZZ Top music.
Sleeping bag, because Ryan slept out in a sleeping bag.
I did.
I will tell you, I got on YouTube and punched in ZZ Top music, and I heard so many songs that I'd never heard. You know, everybody knows like 5 or 10 mm-hmm. ZZ Top yeah. songs. Man, it went way back into like the 50s and the 60s when these guys were just cranking it.
They're a trio, and they've had the same three guys in their band since they started in 1969.
Beautiful. Well, not no more. And they were supposed to be at the Washington Town and Country Fair. So
yes.
What are they doing? Are they going to do they have a backup plan? Do they have somebody who can step in? I'm sure they can.
Their guitar tech, their last show, Dusty didn't play the encore,
yeah. And
their guitar tech played bass. So
see, this is musicians coming together, and I love that because Merle Haggard was doing a performance towards the end of his life, and Toby Keith was in the audience,
mm-hmm.
and he had a breathing issue, the Hag did. So he asked Toby, he says, hey, could you come up and you know help me out here? He goes, I can do it, and I don't need any words. I don't need no lyrics. I know every song you've ever done, and it was a beautiful moment. So
Kesey's 50th birthday party had Sammy Hagar, Collective Soul, and ZZ Top.
Yeah.
And so I was there at the time, and we were backstage, and there's this little old man walking around in this Vegas-style sequins, tight little outfit, short little guy, but giant beard. So exactly, you knew who it was.
Right.
I'm like, Dusty Hill, he looks like a mannequin. Because he was in the zone, and he was getting ready to go on stage. Didn't want anybody to talk to him. And he went out on stage and...
killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Billy's a showman. But Dusty was, you know, he and Frank are the rhythm section. And ooh. So you had to, except it also looked like Dusty didn't want to be there anymore. He was 68 or 69 at the time.
Yeah.
He's 72 now when he passed. And, you know, for a while, you're like, how long are they going to keep doing this?
Yeah.
And they were still doing it.
They were just going. Well, thanks for sharing those memories. I believe I saw ZZ Top at Madame Tussauds Wax Museum in Vegas, I believe.
Really?
I'm pretty sure about it. I think I got a picture of that. But anyway, hey, this show is Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. We're going to be talking with the Sheriff of Jefferson County, Dave Marshak, a little later on in the program. But I have Ryan here. He just finished up the MR340 kayak race across the great state of Missouri. And first of all, we need to mention your partner in your boat.
Yes.
His name?
Rob Bergner.
And good dude.
Did
you get in any fights along the way? Like, you're not doing it right.
No.
Just quick.
Nothing major.
Okay. No. You got through
nothing
it.
Major. We made it through.
He's listed first on the website.
Well, and it was his boat.
It's by alphabet.
Of course it is. Yes.
Okay. So I do want to know this. You did finish.
Yes.
You finished in 39th for your category.
Right.
Which is outstanding. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Who was waiting for you when you got into St. Charles?
So my two daughters were there, and my mom and dad were there.
Awesome.
Which was great. And the nice thing about coming in when we did was there was a lot of people there. So it was a really good turnout. One of my other buddies that texted me some tough love in the middle of the race, he was there. He had done the event a few years ago, so it was awesome.
And he didn't do it anymore.
I'll tell you what, I know one other guy, a songwriter in Nashville, did it, and it about killed him because he had a short kayak, a short one. He says, I don't know why I did that. I just figured it'd be the best way to go. You had a two-man.
Mm-hmm.
You said prior to starting the program today that next year you're going to do it differently. What are you going to do?
Well, I would have liked to eventually try this on a solo, you know, a solo boat, just myself.
The solo guys... the team set a record, but the solo guy, he was only 2 hours behind them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's some pretty, there are, like I said, there's definitely people in it to win it, and there's those that are there to finish it.
Just to do it. Yeah.
And I would like to get to that point in time where I'm in it to win it.
Because you get what you pay for. I mean, you can go to the farm store and buy a kayak and go for it, or you can get one of these streamlined, really lightweight, kind of like a competitive bicyclist. You know, a buddy of mine, a Marine, was a triathlete, and he had a bike that weighed about a pound and a half or whatever it was, but it was about 10 grand.
Right.
So there are competitive level boats.
Oh, absolutely. Just the competitive level guns. You know, fishing equipment, it's, there's plenty of ways to spend money into that sport.
Okay, and speaking of, Ryan Conley is your financial guide through all seasons. In-Season Financial is a great sponsor of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. And so I'm glad you finished it. I'm glad your family was waiting for you. I wasn't there, but I was praying for you on your trip. Glad you finished it. Coming up in the next segment, we are going to dive deep into the MR340 from Ryan's perspective and really get the dirt on how tough it was and that kind of thing. You want to know the details? Maybe you want to do it next year. We'll find out. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. We'll be right back. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, and we are tributing the music to Dusty Hill, the late Dusty Hill we lost this week from ZZ Top. Man, oh man, I saw them for the first time about 6 years ago. I think they were opening for the Kid Rock concert, and I've loved ZZ Top music all my life, and I'm looking at the stage, I'm like, hold on. All three guys, all this music is from three guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was just floored. I mean, because, again, I guess I never looked at the album cover, but Dusty Hill, RIP, buddy.
72 years old.
That's a shame. No COVID. We don't know the details.
Died in his sleep.
Man, what a way to go. That'd be the goal, right?
And since we're playing legs, what's this segment brought to you by?
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate that. It is brought to you by the things that go on the end of your legs. Chuck's Boots. Chuck's Boots in Fenton and St. Peter's. And if you do not own a side-by-side or you got a junky one, you banged up too much, they're giving away a Polaris General 1000 with Thoroughgood boots. They've teamed up. All you have to do is go to their Facebook page at Chuck's Boots or chucksboots.com. Get registered, name, phone number, basic information, and all the restrictions apply and all the rules are right there on the website. But you could walk away by the end of the year with a brand new Polaris side-by-side. And with this segment of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, Ryan Conley, he is what I like to call the Chuck Norris of the financial world. Ryan, I've been anxious to hear the story. You just finished up the MR340. Thank you for coming in a couple of weeks ago to tell us about it coming up. But how did it go? Just generally.
Well, we finished. So generally speaking,
that's a win.
Fantastic.
Some people didn't, did they?
No, they didn't. It was a challenging for us 4 days. I think the final registration was somewhere around 530 some odd boats. Now, you have to register for this event on January 1st. That's when registration first starts opening.
Okay.
And it fills up. Some of the spots fill up pretty quickly. So, you know, between January 1st and July, you know, life gets in the way. So there were a number of boats that didn't even start.
Oh, boy.
But I think we had around 400 that answered the bell. Off to begin at the start of it.
So explain, Ryan, by the way, Ryan Conley from In-Season Financial, a great sponsor of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Explain to those that are hearing the words MR340, what is it?
Well, it is a race. It's a race that there are winners, but the vast majority of people that enter this are there to complete it. But it starts literally right on the border of Kansas and Missouri. A little river called the Kaw River.
Okay.
That's where we all stage. And then we start paddling like 500 yards, and then we're on the Missouri River.
Okay, right there.
Right there. And it goes from, you know, from Kansas City all the way to St. Charles, 340 river miles is what it is.
And were you shocked at what it looked like when you got in the boat? Now, you did have some experience because you were part of a ground crew last year.
Right. I was a ground crew last year.
Okay. So this year, last year you decide, I'm going to do this thing.
Yes.
And I'm going to beat it. Well, you're going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
A week before, I was in Herman, and I texted you, and I was alongside the Missouri River. I'm like, dude, I think the river's moving pretty fast. So was it moving pretty fast in your kayaks?
Well, so I think technically the river was moving slower than what you saw in Herman. However, the winner of the race this year set the course record, if you will. So you know, for them, they found the right water. They had the right, you know, equipment. And from what I understand, if you were behind them, it was a 3-person kayak that won. If you were behind them watching them, it looked like one person. They were just absolutely in sync.
Really?
They were in it to win it.
It's like what you see on the Olympic rowing teams.
Right, exactly.
Just that good.
Yeah, they were that good.
So, you know, if you think of the Boston Marathon, the New York Marathon, St. Louis Marathon, there are people that are here for the competition to be the first one across the finish line.
Correct.
Did you have that expectation going into this, or you just wanted to do it and finish it?
I did not have that expectation. No. You have 85 hours to complete it. We originally set a goal for somewhere in the 60 to 70 hour range.
Call him out.
Yeah, his name is Rob Bergner.
Rob, good job, buddy.
Yep.
Did you switch who was in front, who was in back?
Or no, it kept it. Well, it's his kayak.
So he's in front?
He's in the back.
Oh, okay.
He was in the back.
So he could be napping and you don't even know it.
Exactly.
And I'm sure he did. No, I'm
well,
just kidding, Rob.
He's a bit of a talker, so I knew that, that if he was sleeping, I wouldn't have heard it. But,
okay.
No, it was his kayak and his most all of his stuff. I was just basically there to
be a motor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was fine. I was happy with that.
And were you comparable in strength? I mean, I do reference you as Chuck Norris of the financial world.
He would be the Chuck Norris of the sign world. Then we'll just say that. How about
okay.
that? Yeah. No, he works for a company that they build you know, like big gas station signs
sure.
and stuff like that. So no, I would say that we had two Chuck Norrises then on one kayak,
okay.
and it worked out fine.
So just describe. Now you did have a ground crew that followed mm-hmm. along.
Yes.
But what kind of equipment do you carry in the boat? Because I text you while we were recording Second Amendment Radio,
mm-hmm.
didn't get a response,
right.
so I'm guessing there was no signal.
Yep.
What kind of equipment do you have in the boat aside from what the ground crew has?
Right. So, I mean, in the boat, you have to have, there's some safety equipment that's required. You have to have an extra paddle in case one of them breaks. So, you know, that's a requirement. You have to have your navigation lights on all the time.
Kayaks with lights, didn't
mm-hmm.
they? Okay.
Yeah, battery powered. You have a bright one in the back and then the red and green one on the front.
Gotcha.
Which actually comes in handy when it's night. It's actually pretty cool when it's like midnight and you can see the other paddlers and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
So that's helpful.
Yes.
What other safety equipment? Life vest, you wear that
oh,
the whole
yeah,
time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think it's a requirement to wear it. I've saw very few people that did not wear one.
Right.
But you had to have one in the boat. And okay. for me, I mean, that's just a no-brainer. I'm going to wear that thing. I have two daughters and
yeah.
you know,
dad's
a zest for living. So
dad's doing crazy stuff.
Right. Let's
Gotta be
let's
safe.
Go ahead and keep it safe. And there's, you know, something called a bilge pump, which, you know, if you flood, it allows you to get the water out,
yeah.
And a few other little safety devices as far as that goes. There's extra stuff that you can put on the boat. We had, you know, navigation, Garmin's,
uh-huh.
essentially, which you think, well, what do you need a Garmin for? You just point the thing down river and you're going to get
and
there.
Just go, yeah.
Just go. But the river does have faster water in it in the channel and stuff, and the Garmin will help.
It tells you that information?
Yeah, it can.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you notice it if you're not in the channel. I mean, because when you paddle, I mean, it'll tell you the speed, and then it's easily a mile, mile and a half, 2 miles less if you're not in the channel. And
wow.
So it can make a big difference.
So you mentioned the lights on the kayak. Did you do a lot of night paddling?
In my opinion, we didn't do enough.
Okay. I would think it'd be cooler.
Well, definitely. That's probably one of the biggest reasons why I don't think we did enough is because it's cooler. But, you know, obviously you lose, you know, most of your sense of sight. Now, they do coordinate the race with the full moon. So that's great. But, you know, one of the risks, the dangers are the buoys, the channel markers.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, they will oftentimes be submerged, and you won't know them until they just suddenly pop up. In
right.
fact, I don't know if you remember watching the movie Jaws, and you saw the part where they're in a boat, and the shark is, you know, swimming right next to the boat, and just under the surface.
Yep.
Well, that happened to us one time. It was during the day, but, you know, a buoy just suddenly popped out of nowhere, and we speed up, and literally the top of the buoy has a ring where they use it to you know, chain on to lift it up or whatever. It uh-huh. looked just like the shark eye.
Oh, no.
And it was no more than 5 feet away from us. So we escaped, thankfully. But
no
there were a few people that did collide with the buoys.
Wow.
And, you know, depending on your boat, some boats will bounce, you know, will bounce off of them. Other ones can be absolutely destroyed by them.
Okay, back to the equipment.
Yes.
I didn't hear anything about a cooler full of beer. Snacks. Anything?
Oh, yeah, we definitely had
That's
snacks.
That's what the ground crew
is Yes. The ground crew kept...
But in the boat, Carl. In the boat.
Right.
I'm thirsty now.
That would be a float trip.
A different game. A
little bit of a different game, yes.
Okay.
But no, we definitely had food and, you know, nutrition. In fact, that's one of the things that can get away from you if you're not paying attention to it is, you know, continuing to eat, continuing to
hydrate. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Especially when it gets to be, 90 something plus degrees.
So this is a lot different experience than renting a kayak at Creve Coeur Lake. Mm-hmm. Because you were traveling 340 miles.
Right.
Did you feel like you had adequately trained prior to this event?
There's always room for improvement, I would say.
So
I think even Michael Jordan makes references to, you know, continually practicing. But for knowing what we were going to get into, yes, I think I did enough to be able to. Obviously, I did enough to get through.
Yeah, yeah.
If I want to, you know, continue this endeavor, which I do, and improve upon my times, it's going to involve a number of different things. You know, improved. You know, off-season training, if you will.
Sure.
Probably even a different, you know, type of boat. I mean, the boat that we were in, its current designs is what it is, the manufacturer, and it's 22 feet long, I think. And you could actually fit three people into it if you wanted to. And it's great for, like, long distance, like, camping or something. If you wanted to load up, you can load a lot of stuff into this thing. The team that won, they had essentially a racing type of, I mean, there's not much to it. But it probably weighs at less than half of what our boat does, you know, by itself.
Sure.
And so we had an advantage when barge traffic would come through and create, you know, decent sized waves. Whereas, you know, those racing kayaks and stuff like that, they would almost, you know, they're at a lot more risk than what we were.
And so, they did it in less than 41 hours.
They did. The winning team actually did it in 36 hours and 20 minutes. And in fact, The lowest point that I was in during this race occurred literally at the halfway point at mile 170.
Okay.
It's just outside of Boonville. There, I mean, literally you can see the bridge from where this is on Franklin Island. It's 170. And there was a 2% chance we got there on Wednesday night that I was going to get back into that kayak the next morning.
You were done?
I was just beat.
Was it a mental thing?
Oh, yeah. It was mental. Yeah, physically I was more or less fine, but it was a mental thing. It was just did not have a really good paddle.
I watch shows like Naked and Afraid and Alone.
Right.
And, you know, they have the equipment, they've got food source, they've got water source, and really the mental part.
Oh, it's huge.
Is so much harder. I did a feat, let's call it, a stunt, and I was at 92 feet for 92 hours to raise $9,200. For Boys and Girls Town of Missouri way back when. And that was the hard part. In the middle of the night, I literally thought, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
and I was praying. I was trying to get some kind of wisdom. And all of a sudden, I realized what I was doing was drawing attention to this charity and these children. And that gave me the push to keep on going and to figure it out why I was there. But when you're in the middle of it, you're like, why am I here? I've got my daughters are waiting for me and that kind of thing. So you did text me when you finally got signal.
Right.
And you told me that there was a chance you were going to, you had already passed it, but there was a thought in your mind that you're done.
Right. And that was it. And very similar story. That 2% chance dropped to a 1% chance.
Wow.
Because right at the time we're at this halfway point, that's when the text messages start coming through that the first boat had already finished.
Oh,
and we are literally at mile 170.
Oh.
So halfway there in a day and a half.
Exactly. And Franklin Island at the time, mosquitoes were everywhere. It was just nuts. I ended up just saying, I'm just going to go lay down in my tent. I did. I prayed for a massive fog bank to roll through, because if that had happened, they probably would have just... the decision would have been...
Outside of my hands.
Yeah,
sure,
like,
sure.
Okay. Woke up the next morning. Prayer wasn't answered. It was relatively clear. Just got in the boat, though. But that night, I gotten several texts from some friends. My girlfriend texted me and said that, you know, there's a bunch of people asking how you're doing. Yeah. They're all rooting for you. And my dad texted me and said that, and a buddy of mine, that at that point in time, already 100 boats had dropped out.
Wow.
I'm like, okay. I just get in the boat and just go. And even if you're tired and you don't paddle for 30 minutes or something, the water's going to take you down.
Sure.
It's going to continue to move you forward. So,
did you think about the charity angle, because you did do this for a reason?
We did. Yes. And absolutely that came into play.
You're on the website.
Yep.
You and your partner are on the website for
good
money.
Good. Yep. The charity that we were doing this. Well, this was not in connection with the MR340 at all. This was just, in fact, Rob is on the board of this charity. It's the Sergeant Bam Foundation. And we were raising, what Sergeant Bam was founded by a Gold Star mom. And so we're raising money to help the Sergeant Bam Foundation assist, you know, all of our servicemen and women with, PTSD.
Absolutely.
And so what we were asking for was 22 cents a mile. And the 22 was, you know, symbolic of the 22 veterans a day that take their
suicide. Yep,
exactly.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I did the 22 push-up challenge.
Right.
For a
right.
long time. Yeah.
Sure. And so I'm very grateful to say, when I stopped to think about, you know, what it was that was causing me pain or discomfort during the race, and then you think about what it is we're doing for, what we're doing this for, I'm like, you know, for me, at worst case scenario, this is over by Friday at 9 p.m. because that's the cutoff time.
Right.
You know, but these sailors and the soldiers and the Marines and the Coast Guard, all these servicemen and women.
Heck, police officers and firefighters.
Absolutely. You know, they're dealing with this stuff indefinitely.
Yeah.
And
every day.
Absolutely every day. So I felt that I just needed to, you know, buck up and get back in a boat, and it's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately,
you're
it's
doing
fun.
Something fun, exactly.
Exactly, and so I don't have the final figures yet. You're still able to donate.
Yes, it says for now on the website.
Okay,
yeah, okay.
So go to what website to donate?
Rivermiles.com.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic, man. Was there other teams that were doing charity purposes for their race too, or no?
Not that I. No, specifically, we actually had, you know, the SergeantBamFoundation.org website on our boat.
Okay.
I didn't see. I mean, there was a couple of other boats that had some sort of sponsorship of sorts.
You're
on
focused
them.
On your boat, not anybody else's
right.
boat.
Exactly.
So let's go back to the physical draining of it. We talked about the mental drain of it.
Yep.
The physical drain. Did you cramp up at all? Like, because I mean, I could be just laying in bed and my foot goes into a cramp and I can't. I gotta. Did you have any of that? I mean, or are you truly Chuck Norris doesn't have cramps, so I guess.
No. I mean,
you laugh.
I do. I laugh every time you say that. No, there's a stuff called kinetic tape or kinesi tape. I'm not sure what the pronunciation of it is, but it's basically elastic tape. My sister is a physical therapist, and she pointing me in the direction of it. I used that a couple times. In fact, across my shoulders. I went the first 2 days, and just to see where I would be the most sore.
Yeah.
And it was across my shoulders. I put those the ground crew guys put that on me. When I got home and finished and finally took it off, it felt like my shoulder blades dropped 6 inches.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
But no, as far as it was definitely I knew when I finished that I had just done, you know, a pretty, you know, something I'd never done before, but nothing to where I was injured.
Okay.
But the cramp, you know, able to make. Okay, so there's stand-up paddle boards.
What? I've seen them at Creepy Lake.
Exactly, and there's a whole division where people will do that, and I'm thinking those guys are nuts.
And you know, they did it the whole way?
Sure.
340 miles?
340 miles. However, I will say this. They have a little bit of an advantage because they can stand, they can sit, they can kneel, or they can even lay down on the things. Whereas if you're in a canoe or a kayak, you're basically in one position. I still don't have any desire to do it on a stand-up.
There's a Gilligan's Island where they were stranded for however long, and there was a guy that showed up on a surfboard.
Yeah.
And then was able to get back on a surfboard and go back, you know, to safety. But anyway, Well, thank you very much for sharing the gory details of this.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for raising the money for the military and mm-hmm. and the people going through PTSD. Ryan Conley of In Season Financial, a great sponsor of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you for that. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Dave Marshak, Sheriff of Jefferson County on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors as we continue to salute Dusty Hill from ZZ Top. Rest in peace. Tear is coming to my eye every time I hear a ZZ Top guitar riff. Oh!
Or a bass line.
Dusty Hill, rest in peace, buddy. Thanks for all the good times. My goodness. It is Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Mark Cox on vacation. And thanks to Ryan Conley from In Season Financial for sticking around for the show. What a great story about the MR340. And if you missed it, please go to the Odyssey app and back it up. And if you've ever been inspired, and I'm not talking about floating down the river with a cooler of beer. I'm talking real competition. Listen to Ryan's story about what he experienced in the MR340, which he did finish. He did not step out of an Escalade at the very end of it. It was all legit. But we do want to switch gears here and get Sheriff Marshak from Jefferson County on. This segment brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are your gun concierge on Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270. And it's right next to the tennis store. And I say that because everybody sees the word tennis first. Razorback Armory is right next to them. Go on in. If you're looking for a silencer, you can go in. They've got a kiosk. You can get signed up. But stop by RazorbackArmory.com for directions and more information about that great company. Sheriff Marshak from Jefferson County, welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Been a while. How are you, sir?
Good day. Doing well. Hope you are doing well as well.
Just trying to get through the heat, brother. Get through the heat. So are you doing well? How's Jeffco and your deputies doing?
Look, everybody's doing well. No complaints. I think everyone's surviving the heat. It's been a little bit cooler this weekend. We're all good.
You know, it's nice to hear less headlines about tragedies in the riverways of our area, but there's always something you got to stay focused on. I do want to see, and I always want to know how recruiting is going, if you are recruiting in Jefferson County, because we always have a lot of people from, you know, the bi-state area that, you know, may be in law enforcement or wanting to get into law enforcement, because there's a story out there about the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department still losing officers at a great rate. Are they coming to you?
Wow, Bo. Hired three this week from St. Louis, and unfortunately for them, the kind of police officers that we're cherry-picking are quality police officers that they're losing. So they may come from homicide, maybe SWAT officers, detectives, intelligence. We're the benefactors of conversations of defunding. All suburban counties and cities continue to thrive as a result of it. I will tell you, for the new recruits, it's a great time to get into policing. If you have an interest, seek out some resources, and you're certainly welcome to call us, or I will be happy to talk to you about it. But I think now is a great time to get in. It continues to be an issue for police agencies across this country to recruit and retain quality police officers, and that's really what we're talking about. We just don't want anybody to come into the profession, particularly those with a grudge, or maybe they got beat up in high school or something. We always hear that joke about the angry police officer. We don't want to hire angry police officers that have a grudge. We're looking for high quality candidates.
You know, and I think that's well said. What direction would you give somebody that's listening, that's thinking about getting into law enforcement? And you know, if you are in St. Louis City and you want to police St. Louis City, my goodness, they need the help for sure. But what direction as far as education? What would be the first step, maybe somebody coming out of high school?
You know, there's 20 law enforcement academies approved in the state of Missouri. Those are easily found and located on Missouri Department of Public Safety website.
Yeah.
That's a great resource to kind of dive in and get some information on the academies, because each academy has its own unique kind of culture about it. And so, you know, if you reside in St. Louis City or St. Louis County, certainly they both have academies. Jefferson County and St. Charles does as well. So I think you have to kind of pinpoint, you know, the area in which you think you would like to serve citizens. And then probably go to the airport.
You know, my daughter got out of the Army several years ago and went right into law enforcement. I'm like, my little cherub, how about a job without a gun? And she's like, I want to police my community. And she did it for a while. Then she did some prison guard work. And then she ultimately got out of it because it is, you know, it is what we see in the headlines. I mean, whether it's true or not, it's the narrative that's out there, and it's scary. So for anybody in law enforcement, my hat's off to you, especially the young people. Does Jeffco have a residency law or a residency mandate? Do you have to live in Jeffco?
No, no. And, you know, again, we continue to make changes quickly to accommodate people. We've expanded our residency requirement several years ago. We allowed our take-home vehicle, and almost every deputy in Jefferson County has a take-home vehicle. They're allowed to take that outside the county now. We've done a number of different things to appeal to some of the younger officers to encourage them to apply with us and make things a little bit more beneficial. We have to be competitive these days. We have to make decisions that put us in the top tier. If we expect top-tier candidates to both apply with us and then to retain them. So, you know, from a law enforcement perspective, we do what we need to do to make sure that we are staffed to protect our community. I will tell you, Bo, excuse me, when you mentioned your daughter, you know, there's this idealistic position that when you are going to go into law enforcement, you're going to be doing certain things and that you're going to have an opportunity to, you know, be out there and play basketball with the kids. And it doesn't take long to realize that that is not what we do every day.
Right, right. You know, I will say, as far as the take-home vehicles for your deputies, I think any neighborhood would be glad to have. A little tear is coming to my eye every time I hear a ZZ Top guitar riff. Oh!
Or a bass line.
Dusty Hill, rest in peace, buddy. Thanks for all the good times. My goodness. It is Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Mark Cox on vacation. And thanks to Ryan Connolly from In Season Financial for sticking around for the show. What a great story about the MR340. And if you missed it, please go to the Odyssey app and back it up. And if you've ever been inspired, and I'm not talking about floating down the river with a cooler of beer. I'm talking real competition. Listen to Ryan's story about what he experienced in the MR340, which he did finish. He did not step out of an Escalade at the very end of it. It was all legit. But we do want to switch gears here and get Sheriff Marshak from Jefferson County on. This segment brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are your gun concierge on Manchester Road, a half mile east of 270. And it's right next to the tennis store. And I say that because everybody sees the word tennis first. Razorback Armory is right next to them. Go on in. If you're looking for a silencer, you can go in. They've got a kiosk. You can get signed up. But stop by RazorbackArmory.com for directions and more information about that great company. Sheriff Marshak from Jefferson County, welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Been a while. How are you, sir?
Good day. Doing well. Hope you are doing well as well.
Just trying to get through the heat, brother. Get through the heat. So are you doing well? How's Jeffco and your deputies doing?
Look, everybody's doing well. No complaints. I think everyone's surviving the heat. It's been a little bit cooler this weekend. We're all good.
You know, it's nice to hear less headlines about tragedies in the riverways of our area, but there's always something you got to stay focused on. I do want to see, and I always want to know how recruiting is going, if you are recruiting in Jefferson County, because we always have a lot of people from, you know, the bi-state area that, you know, may be in law enforcement or wanting to get into law enforcement, because there's a story out there about the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department still losing officers at a great rate. Are they coming to you?
Wow, Bo. Hired three this week from St. Louis, and unfortunately for them, the kind of police officers that we're cherry-picking are quality police officers that they're losing. So they may come from homicide, maybe SWAT officers, detectives, intelligence. We're the benefactors of conversations of defunding. All suburban counties and cities continue to thrive as a result of it. I will tell you, for the new recruits, it's a great time to get into policing. If you have an interest, seek out some resources, and you're certainly welcome to call us, or I will be happy to talk to you about it. But I think now is a great time to get in. It continues to be an issue for police agencies across this country to recruit and retain quality police officers, and that's really what we're talking about. We just don't want anybody to come into the profession, particularly those with a grudge, or maybe they got beat up in high school or something.
Sure.
We always hear that joke about the angry police officer. We don't want to hire angry police officers that have a grudge. We're looking for high quality candidates.
You know, and I think that's well said. What direction would you give somebody that's listening, that's thinking about getting into law enforcement? And you know, if you are in St. Louis City and you want to police St. Louis City, my goodness, they need the help for sure. But what direction as far as education, what would be the first step, maybe somebody coming out of high school?
You know, there's 20 law enforcement academies approved in the state of Missouri. Those are easily found and located on Missouri Department of Public Safety website.
Yeah.
That's a great resource to kind of dive in and get some information on the academies, because each academy has its own unique kind of culture about it. And so, you know, if you reside in St. Louis City or St. Louis County, certainly they both have academies. Jefferson County and St. Charles does as well. So I think you have to kind of pinpoint, you know, the area in which you think you would like to serve citizens, and then probably go there for it.
You know, my daughter got out of the Army several years ago and went right into law enforcement. I'm like, my little cherub, how about a job without a gun? And she's like, I want to police my community. And she did it for a while. Then she did some prison guard work. And then she ultimately got out of it, because it is, you know, it is what we see in the headlines. I mean, whether it's true or not, it's the narrative that's out there, and it's scary. So for anybody in law enforcement, my hat's off to you, especially the young people. Does Jeffco have a residency law or a residency mandate? Do you have to live in Jeffco?
No. And, you know, again, we continue to make changes quickly to accommodate people. We've expanded our residency requirement several years ago. We allowed our take-home vehicle, and almost every deputy in Jefferson County has a take-home vehicle. They're allowed to take that outside the county now. We've done a number of different things to appeal to some of the younger officers to encourage them to apply with us and make things a little bit more beneficial. We have to be competitive these days. We have to make decisions that put us in the top tier. If we expect top-tier candidates to both apply with us and then to retain them. So, you know, from a law enforcement perspective, we do what we need to do to make sure that we are staffed to protect our community. I will tell you, Bo, excuse me, when you mentioned your daughter, you know, there's this idealistic position that when you are going to go into law enforcement, you're going to be doing certain things and that you're going to have an opportunity to, you know, be out there and play basketball with the kids. And it doesn't take long to realize that that is not what we do every day.
Right. You know, I will say, as far as the take-home vehicles for your deputies, I think any neighborhood would be glad to have a sheriff's deputy car sitting in a driveway of their neighbor or their community. I always appreciate the blue lights that people put on the front of their house as their porch light. It just lets you know that people do support the thin blue line. I want to switch gears here and talk about response times to 911, because I have a personal experience, but I also, you know, have been hearing more stories about, you know, calls to 911 in the metro going to on hold status. My experience was I accidentally, your phone, most every phone has a trigger that you can hit certain buttons and it will automatically call 911. And I'm in my side-by-side, my phone, I threw in the cup holder, and by the time I got to my destination, I was hearing whoop, 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 and I'm like, oh no. And so I immediately hung up, and I guess what I should have done is I should have waited for that call to answer, because it called 911 automatically, and immediately the dispatch office called and said, hey, are you okay? What's your name? What's your address? And everything was cool. We're blessed in Jefferson County, and I'm sure there's other great counties around here that the response time is quick, but I was able to communicate, hey, everything's fine here. It was an accident. But yet, I still had this thing in the back of my mind that because I had your number, I called, and I thank you for answering that call, to make sure that nobody was coming. And yet, because it's a big question mark, was it really true? Was somebody BSing the dispatcher? And the car was actually on the way that you found out, and you called it off for me because everything was fine. Response time is outstanding in Jeffco.
Yeah, and unfortunately, what we're seeing in some jurisdictions that struggle for manpower and resources and haven't, let's make a point, they haven't made the changes necessary to recruit and retain employees. There's consequences for that. There's consequences for that from a dispatcher's perspective. There's a consequence for the police officer, and the citizens in which we are supposed to protect. The fact that in some jurisdictions you're calling 911 and you're on hold for 5 to 10 minutes is unacceptable.
Wow. I mean, when stuff's happening, it's happening right now. And that is frightening.
You know the old phrase, right? When you need police in seconds, they're minutes away. This is the foundation of cooperation between police officers, responsible gun owners, and responsible citizens, because at some point you have to make a decision to protect yourself, because the police officers cannot be there exactly when they need. And I appreciate the compliment in terms of our response. But let's look at the bigger picture. And I think that needs to be the conversation, because with fewer police officers out there, you can expect longer response times. It's simple math.
How many, and I know you probably know this number or close to it, what's the square mileage of Jefferson County?
Jefferson County is 664 square miles. So land-wise...
I love that you know that.
land-wise, we're larger than St. Louis County, certainly not in population, but it makes a difference in terms of our response times and how we deploy our resources.
So how do we talk to people that own guns, maybe not have ever trained with them, maybe never shot it, just bought it in the melee of the last year and a half? What's your advice to them? I always say learn how to clean it first, but what do you say?
Go to a respectable business. I know you have many of them sponsoring these shows. Reach out to them. They always have courses available. I think that's a no-brainer these days. And then when you come get your CCW permit, at least if you get it from us, we actually provide you a little letter with some insight on responsible gun safety.
Yeah.
And then also provide you access to a couple of websites that have additional information on really how to enhance your skills and protect yourself.
Okay, so there was a story about a week and a half ago that I read in the Leader that talked about a dispute between somebody was stealing something out of a vehicle and the person that was being robbed, let's say, allegedly, grabbed a baseball bat and chased the person away from the vehicle. But the wrong thing that happened was he ended up chasing that person, because it was a neighbor, chased them into their home and then continued to assault him or beat him. And he's the one that got in trouble.
Yeah, so
you can't talk about details. I know it may still be in you know, litigation or whatever, but I mean, that's the wrong thing to do, right, Sheriff?
You know, look, I didn't read the article. I'm not familiar with the situation. Obviously, in a county this size, there's a lot of things that happen. I don't have the intimate details on each one of those.
You have people to take care of this.
But I will tell you, there are certain things that, as a responsible CCW holder or as a citizen, that you should be aware of. And, you know, our police officers have to be trained in constitutional law constantly. As a citizen, there's not the same expectation of privacy. You're not a government official acting in a government capacity. And so the rules are a little bit different. They're actually a little bit more flexible. But I'm not familiar with it. I don't want to speculate in terms of what happened, Bo. But,
oh, wait till you read about it. It's amazing. Louisville Slugger, that's all I'm saying. But the goal really is to defuse the situation. Whether you deploy your weapon, whether you're a sheriff, a police officer, or a private citizen, it's to minimize the violence and to minimize the situation, correct?
That's correct. It's simply to stop the threat. I've heard other people use, you know, the police shoot to kill, they shoot to do this. It's really to stop the threat. And I will tell you, as a CCW trainer, right, there is nothing that I've ever seen that allows a private citizen to shoot an individual to protect personal property. And that's an important thing, because if you do that and you do take that step, you'll find yourself on the other side as well.
Amazing. Sheriff Marshak from Jefferson County, Missouri, thank you so much for your time. Always a great, great chat with
you. Have a good
weekend. Yeah, and stay cool, my friend.
You do the same.
And thanks again for having such a great response time on my situation, even though it was okay. Everything was fine. But, okay, hold on. Let me, before you hang up,
sure.
Where on the priority level does a unanswered or a call like that go to? Because
so many things can make a difference and up it. If they call you back and there's no return call, if there's a history from that phone number where that phone number has been tagged with prior domestics,
okay,
that's going to make a difference. If there's been law enforcement contact in that area recently, it
which
makes
I
a difference. If the phone goes directly to a resident, they check the history. So a lot of variables there, Bo. We get a lot of accidental dials, as you know.
Yeah.
And so it's up to the watch commander and the dispatcher to kind of put together, you know, and prioritize that call based on all the other calls that are coming in.
Well, I was comforted by the fact that a car was still on its way, even though you called them off for me. So thanks for that. Be well, my friend.
Have a good day.
Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews, along with Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
Ryan Connolly, who didn't say a word in that segment, but he's still here.
I'm here.
And so, yeah, again, I want to remind people to go back on the Odyssey app, rewind it, and listen to Ryan's story about the MR-340, an amazing story on how he made it by kayak across the state of Missouri. Real quick, do you have another goal? Do you have your eyes set on something else? For a challenge.
Well, obviously, I want to continue to improve on what I did with the 340, but I'm still recovering as far as that's concerned. So right now, I haven't given that a whole lot of thought.
For the record, I don't see a big sunburn. I thought I'd see some kind of blistering or something.
I still have numbness in my fingers.
Okay.
So does that count for anything?
But you're going back.
I believe so, yes.
Outstanding. Thanks for joining us on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Mark Cox, I believe, will join us again.
He will be back.
Next week. Carl, thanks for the tribute music to Dusty Hill. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.